But however, we got a letter from Dr. Oswald Smith in Toronto inviting us for 2 weeks meetings at the People's Church, and that was how we first came to the United States of America. And I remember before one meeting, I had never before preached in a service that was being at the same time put over the air, and I remember him standing up and saying to the crowd, "Now, if you have to cough, cough." And so all over that building, there must have been 2,500 people there. They did their coughing and their sneezing and their shuffling. And then he looked at them and said, 2 minutes to go, and then no more coughing, no more sneezing, no more shuffling. So all that, you give Mr. Willie time to get the equipment ready and to tell you, no more shuffling, no more sneezing, you're on the air. We're going to sing Gentle Shepherd, and then we're going to sing Hallelujah, What a Savior. You remember the choir sang that one, and a couple of other numbers. Gentle Shepherd to begin. We're going to have two parts. Sing it out.
Gentle Shepherd, come and be.
Said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if he will that I tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the book that should be written. Now would you mind turning to Peter's epistle, Peter's first epistle, and chapter 5. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear,
Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Lord is my shepherd. And I'm sure that many of you here, perhaps even all of you here, most of you all at any rate, will gladly respond in the same terms. For there was a time when you received Jesus Christ as Savior, and you're not going through life alone. You have the great Good Shepherd with you. And as you battle with life and it hits you this way and that way and different circumstances come over you, you know you're not battling with life alone, but you have one strong Savior by your side, a shepherd to watch over you, a shepherd to guide you, a shepherd to support you and to strengthen you. And in this we rejoice. Am I speaking to someone tonight who has not this assurance? Who cannot say with absolute certainty, because they have received him as their very own, the one who loved them and died for them? You cannot say the Lord is my shepherd in that personal sense. Then may I invite you tonight to put your faith and your trust in him. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But you must come trusting him. You must come in humility. You must come expressing your need of him. And open your heart and life to him. And come under his care. And come under his dominion. And go through life with him. Your great joy then will be to say, the Lord is my shepherd. In all the changing circumstances of life, and even in death itself and beyond, it will hold true. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, we may each claim our Lord in that personal way. But our Lord has designed that there shall be under shepherds, and that those who come to faith in him will not go on in a solitary Christian life, but that they will be united with other Christians and under the care of those who have experience of the presence and of the power and of the instruction of the Lord to guide and to lead and to care for those whom the Lord puts in their care. And it is about this particularly that we're going to speak this evening. This morning we saw that the Lord indicated to his disciples that they were to become fishers of men. And we are to have an evangelistic outreach to win men and women for Jesus Christ and to make them disciples of his. Having made them disciples, they need shepherding. They need leading on in the things of the Lord. They need encouragement. And the Lord has provided for this by giving under shepherds who are to have a care for the folks who are in their immediate vicinity, who are linked to them in a close fellowship, so that they might care for them in spiritual things and in other ways besides. We're not all evangelists. This is a special gift which our Lord gives the Son to be able to win many people for Jesus Christ. And we may think around today, great names that we know of people who have obviously this gift of an evangelist. But we're not to leave all the evangelism to the evangelist. The Lord has given gifts to his church in order that his people might be built up in their faith. And that these sheep who have been gathered together through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ might be so ministered to that they will become strong and become healthy Christians And it is the business of the sheep to bear the lamb. I think we have this very beautifully put before us in the second chapter of Acts. Peter, with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved. He was used as an evangelist on that occasion. But then we find that there came the time when, following this evangelistic outreach, these people were encouraged in their faith. And they met together daily in the courts of the temple. And they heard from the apostles the teaching which the Savior had given to them. And they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And this affected their whole life. So that there was a society in Jerusalem which was different from anything that anyone had ever seen. These people loved one another. These people shared with one another. We read that these people ate their food with gladness, praising God and having favor with all the people. And in a society which was grabbing and selfish, they saw suddenly a society which had the love of Jesus one toward the other. A society of people who loved one another and who were praising God and who were full of joy. And we read, the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. So first there was the impact of the evangelistic message. And then there was the impact of healthy Christians living together in love and praising God. And the Lord used that to bring people to himself day by day. Now as we address ourselves to the study of John 21 and this incident which we have read together, let us keep in mind that the Lord is showing himself to his disciples. He presented himself to us this morning as the Lord of the harvest. Tonight he is presenting himself to us as the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He is a great shepherd. But he is also the chief shepherd because he has under shepherds who work with him in the shepherding of his flock. Now we're not only going to hear what our Lord said this evening, but we're going to watch him at work. The chief shepherd shows what to do before he instructs his under-shepherd. This morning we had a lovely scripture read to us from the 10th chapter of John. About the Lord being a good shepherd and giving his life for the sheep and knowing his sheep, said he, I know my sheep, and they know me. He said, I call my own sheep by name. So I leave. Now here are some things for us to lay to heart with regard to the great, the chief shepherd and his relationship with the sheep. He says, I know my sheep and they know me. So there is a close affinity between the shepherd and the sheep. And if the shepherd is going to know the sheep, then he's got to live with the sheep. And if the sheep are going to know the shepherd, then they haven't got to be very far away from the shepherd. He says, I know them all by name. And so he could speak to them. And he's giving a pattern to his under-shepherd, because you can't really be a shepherd of God's sheep if you're not with the sheep. And if you're running off here and there now and again, people don't know you and you don't know the sheep. You have to know their name. You have to know them. You have to understand them. You have to know how to approach them. And they have to know you too, so that they trust you. I know their names, he said. I know them and they know me. Now we come over to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We see what a busy day he had shepherding on that first day of resurrection. And I love to think of these things. He has conquered death. He has accomplished the greatest victory of all time. He has battled with the powers of darkness. He has risen from the dead. And the first thing he does is to round up his sheep. It's early morning on that day of resurrection. And here is one of his sheep. A woman who has been bereaved. A woman whose heart is broken. And the Savior comes to her. Standing behind her, he says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And he's going to dry away her tears. And he's going to deal with her sorrow. And he asks her a question. And he gives her the opportunity of opening up to him. And he will listen to her while she speaks. The good shepherd is a good listener. She said, supposing him to be the gardener, "If you take them somewhere else, tell me where you've laid him. And I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She knew. She knew in a moment. I think it is so wonderful that the Lord was first recognized in resurrection, not by form or feature, but by the intonations of his voice. As he called this woman by name, she had heard his call so many times before. "Mary." "Rabboni," she said, "Master." She recognized him immediately. There's somebody else the Lord must see. The last sight this man had of him was a sorrowful eye which was directed towards him. For Peter had denied his Lord with oaths and curses, and as the Lord was led by from one place to another during his trial, he turned and he looked on Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here is a man with something on his conscience. Here is one of the Lord's sheep, and he needs to be comforted and he needs to be assured that the Lord understands and will forgive him. We're not told anything about that interview. We're just told that the Lord appeared to Simon. And how precious that must have been to him. And here are two more of his disciples, and they're wandering away. They're leaving Jerusalem and they're leaving the disciples because their faith has been so challenged, it hasn't stood up to the challenge. And they're disconsolate and they're sad and they can't understand the things which are taking place in Jerusalem. And they're wandering away. And the Savior joins. Again he asks the question, and he listens while they unburden their heart to him. "Why are you sad?" says he. "Your conversation seems to be so sorrowful, you're heavy-hearted. Why are you sad?" He said, "You're only a stranger in Jerusalem. Don't you know what's happened here lately?" He was no stranger in Jerusalem. He was the very one to whom it had all happened. And then he opened to them from the scriptures the things concerning himself. And their sadness disappeared like the morning dew. And their heart burned within them whilst he talked with them by the way. The shepherd after sheep that were wandering away. Making their heart burn within them, turning their feet back again towards Jerusalem. Now it is evening, and the 11 are gathered together. They're full of fear, they're behind barred doors, what might happen to them with their leader, so tragically put to death. Jesus came into their midst and said, "Peace be unto you, and showed them his hands and his side. In the following week, he reassured Thomas, the great shepherd at work. He's a heart for these people. He is an understanding of these people. He puts himself about to go after these people. He sets himself to fulfill their needs in the revelation of himself to them. Now let us see his concern for Peter. For the Lord is going to reinstate Peter, and he's going to ordain him as an under-shepherd to care for his sheep, to do the work which the Lord was doing personally when he was here, which he still does, in a sense. But these are flesh and blood shepherds to whom we can relate. And so his concern for Peter, first of all, is to reinstate him. The Lord sent a message by the angels when he rose from the dead, by the women. Go tell my disciples and Peter that you go before me into Galilee, and there you shall see me. I wonder whether he puzzled over those words, and Peter. Was it that the Lord was not now recognizing him as a disciple, so that he was mentioned adrift from the disciples, or was it that the Lord was reassuring him and wanted him to understand that he would be welcome there too? Go tell my disciples and Peter. That appears in Mark's Gospel, and Mark's Gospel is generally recognized to be Peter's Gospel, written by Mark. That was precious to Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Peter had really repented of his failure. He went out and he wept bitterly. And the shepherd, if we can change the picture, as a divine potter, was taking that lump of clay which had been marred in his hands, and he was going to make it again another vessel. Praise God, he can remake our lives. Don't let us be despondent if we have failed him in the past. Let us seek his forgiveness and be assured that his blood will cleanse us from all sin. And let us be assured that he can remake us and use us again. Now, the Lord is going to reveal to Peter the essential motive for service. His concern was then to reinstate him and to reveal the essential motive for service. I want you to notice when this happened. Wasn't it lovely of the Lord to prepare that breakfast for them when they were so cold and tired and weary after their fruitless night fishing? He made them sit down and he served them. He got them warm and comfortable. He got them fed so that they were feeling revived. And it was then that the Lord spoke to Peter. How different from the tactics of the devil when our Lord was tempted in the wilderness. The tempter waited 40 days until Jesus was weary with his hunger. And then he shot his temptations at him. He waited for his weakness in order to put the strength of his temptation in. Now Christ waits until Peter is fed and warmed, has felt his love and rejoiced in him afresh, and he says to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? The Lord has given Peter the opportunity to three times express his love to him publicly, whereas before three times he had denied his Lord with oaths and curses. But the Lord is making no direct reference to that. It is so veiled, it is so beautiful. How wise was our Lord in his approach and in his dealing with those with whom He found it necessary to speak from time to time. In that upper room, he washed the feet of the disciples, and then he wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he had that wonderful way of being able to deal with the faults in his disciples and deal with our faults in such a way as to wipe away the grime of them and then to leave us feeling comfortable. So the Lord said to Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these? More than these boats and this fishing? I don't think the Lord was saying that to him. It may be that he might have to say that to some of us from time to time, in whom material things get a grip, and they bog down our spiritual lives, and they damp our spiritual ardor, so that like demons, we love this present world, so we cease to be ardent followers of Jesus Christ. He would say to us, if material things are getting a grip upon us tonight, do you love me more than these? Where is your treasure? Is it in material things or is it in me? The Lord so presents himself to us that we feel the magnetism of his mighty love to draw us away from the things he has so given us so freely, richly to enjoy. As not the things, it's the giver, it's the Lord himself. Do you love me more than these? Peter said, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. Hadn't he said, though all men should deny you, yet were not I. Do you love me more than these disciples, Peter? You going to make comparisons? No, Peter, we're not make comparisons anymore. He says, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter replied in the same terms, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Peter was grieved. The Lord said to him the third time, lovest thou me? Now the interesting thing is that there were different words here used. When the Lord said to Peter, do you love me? Use a very strong word. But Peter replied using now, having been humbled by his experience, a word which was not so strong. Perhaps I could best put it to you this way. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything, you know I'm from you. And the Lord said, do you love me more? Do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, well, Lord, you know I'm from you. And then the Lord said to Peter, Simon, are you fond of me? And he came down to Peter's words. And Peter was grieved because he did that. But Peter wanted to rise in his love to Jesus Christ. He had really come back to him. And the Lord was teaching him that the essential motive of service is love to himself. You see, if we do service merely as a duty, we shall find that it is a burden. If we do service merely because other people are expecting us to do this service, it is not satisfactory, and our service will grind to a halt. But if we do service because we love Jesus Christ, and this is the motive in all that we do, and even though that service might be chore, we're doing it because we love Jesus Christ. It will give a glory to it. It will lift it. It will give a sacredness to it. And it will give an enthusiasm to us in the way that we do it. Because we're doing it as unto the Lord and not to men. This is an essential characteristic to those who are under shepherds. The first priority is this: love for Jesus Christ. The great question to the unsaved is this: what think ye of Christ? The great question to the Christian, the great question to our hearts here this evening is: do you love me? Now I'm using our Lord's words because I don't want you to hear my voice merely. But I'm trusting that tonight the Lord is speaking through my voice with his tender accent into the very depths of your soul. And he's saying, do you love me? Do you love me? And if your answer is in the affirmative, the Lord will tell you what to do, and you will do it out of love for him. Now the Lord defined his service, the service of an under-shepherd. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and I believe it can be put, feed my young sheep. As John said in his epistle, children, young men, father, feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Be with my sheep. Know my sheep. Love my sheep. For these sheep were precious to our Lord Jesus. Every one is precious to him. Precious to the extent that he laid down his life for them. The church of God has been purchased with his own blood, as Paul said to the elders of Ephesus at Miletus. Every one of God's people is as precious as that to him. Now says the Lord, these who are so precious to me, I'm handing over to you for your care. And if you really love me, you will love them, and you will love them with all their idiosyncrasies, and with all their funny ways, and with all their awkwardness. You're going to love them like I love them, and you're going to look after them for my sake. Could I just tell you what this tending of the sheep really means? The Lord had a complaint against the shepherds of Israel. He said in Ezekiel 34, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness have you ruled them. Now that's negative, but if you make this positive, you'll see what tending the sheep really is. You will strengthen the weak. You will heal the sick. You will bind up the crippled, those that don't walk too well. You will bring back those that have strayed away. You will seek those that are lost. And you won't rule them as a lord over God's heritage. But you will have authority over them with a shepherd heart. And you live so close to the great good shepherd that his characteristics will be yours. And you'll look after his sheep for him. Peter was an evangelist on the day of Pentecost. But when he wrote his epistle to the Christians of his day, he was a shepherd. He was an elder. And he encouraged that they would submit one to the other. The sheep submitting to the shepherds. The shepherds among themselves submitting to one another. All of you, said he, be subject one to the other. In the cares that come from time to time to those who are shepherds among God's people, this lovely word is given. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's lovely in connection with the problems that the shepherds have from time to time to know that the Lord is His special word for them. It is a word for all of us because He is the shepherd of us all. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Well, we thought about our Lord's concern for Peter and His commission to Peter. Now, finally and briefly, let us consider His command to Peter. The Lord told him that when he was young, he did just what he liked. But when he is old, it's going to be different. He said, another will gird you and carry you whither you would not. This he said, signifying by what death he should glorify God. The Savior is talking to the disciples in the peace and the quiet of the Lake of Galilee. Back to my mind comes the peaceful impression that I had as I stood by your lake this morning. They're in peaceful surroundings and the Lord is talking to them. But He's going to thrust them out into a hostile world. And Peter will seal his blood, seal his testimony in martyrdom. Peter felt, as the Lord said to him, follow me, that he'd had a major treatment that morning. Seeing John following, he said to the Savior, what shall this man do? And the Lord said to him, very politely, mind your own business. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Your responsibility is to follow me. Whatever I insist on others, that others shall do, whatever I design for others to do, your immediate responsibility is to follow me. Now notice this. The Lord was indicating His supreme authority. His authority over the shepherd. His supreme authority in His church. If I will that he shall tarry till I come. What is that to be? The all important thing was I will, spoken by Jesus Christ. For in all things He must have the preeminence. He is the head of the church, which is His body. And He determines not only the work which we shall do for Him, He determines not only who shall be shepherds among His people, because shepherds are not man-made, they are God-made. Paul said again to the elders at Ephesus, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. We discover them from time to time. Discover those people who have got a shepherd heart, whom the Lord is raising up for this particular service. The Lord says, if I will that he tarry, what is that to be? And the Lord then has the authority to determine what our service for Him shall be, and to determine something else as well, to determine the duration of our service. Because we're only shepherds here, whilst we're among God's people in the flesh, we're going to be called one day to higher service. And the Lord says, now that's my job for you, for the time being. And I will determine how long that time shall be. Our times are in His hands. His command to Peter then to follow him, and to be only concerned about his relationship with Jesus Christ and the work which he had given him to do, indicated his supreme authority and indicated individual responsibility to Jesus Christ. Even though we work with other shepherds and are submissive to them, and even though as sheep we are submissive to those who are over us in the Lord, who must give account to him concerning our spiritual welfare in a coming day. For this reason we should hold in high estimation those whom God has set among his people as shepherds, and submit to them, and give them no cause for shame when they have to appear before the Lord on our behalf. So the question comes again as we draw this service to a close this evening. Because this is relative to all of us, and not just to those who are shepherds among God's people. And the Lord will speak to our hearts as we draw this service to a close. Do you love me? And he will put your name before that expression. And I would ask you to take your name now and put it into the mouth of the Savior and hear him say, "Do you love me?" Because this is the very heart of Christianity. Without the love to Jesus Christ, the fire will go out of our life. We will become cold and distant and eventually disinterested. When the Lord sent his messages to the seven churches, the first complaint he had was this: "You've left your first love. Those fires are dying down." From then on, all the other things happened. Now this was the initial step in declension. You've left your first love. Is there someone here tonight who's left their first love? You remember back the days when you were on fire for Jesus Christ, you loved him with all your heart, but the years have gone by, and you become cold. Look again tonight into his lovely face. See those eyes looking down into your heart and into your life, drawing you back to himself, challenging you as to your love for him. Will you not respond, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And I want to love him better." You will love him better not by thinking about the paucity of your own love, but about the magnitude of his love for you personally. Oh, may that love flood your soul during this week. Oh, may that love make strong appeal to your personality. Oh, may the Savior put out his arms and draw you back to himself to the warmth of his love, so that you love him better than you love anybody or anything else. And he'll give you service to do for him, and it will be such a joy to do it, because you love him. I'm going to ask that we sing a hymn which I believe we can truthfully sing: "My Jesus, I Love Thee," number 86.
Number 86. You notice the title is Lord Jesus, I Love Thee. Let's sing Lord Jesus, I Love Thee, shall we, for that first verse, 86. Stand to sing it.
Lord Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine, my rock and my fortress, my glory divine, my grace.
Purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. Tis thou who art worthy, Lord Jesus. Tis thou. Verse 3.